Okay, we're back again, and this time I decided to try something a little different. I invited different people from different walks of life in different areas of the country to come in and have a discussion on what's going on right now. Because if we don't speak up, exactly who will? So grab you something to drink. We ran a little long, but I felt it was important not to cut it down too much. So welcome to the show. Let's start off with a prayer.
Okay.
Everybody bow your heads.
God, whatever you, we come before God, whatever you imagine that God to be. And we ask for grace and humility and understanding, peace and fortitude for a time such as this. And we ask this in God's name. And so it is. Amen.
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 Thank you, sir. Okay. There's so much stuff going on. I call myself trying to get prepared ahead of time. Only thing I have is like scribbles all over the page. It's just like, is this the, you see, here goes the first cuss word. Here is it like the, it feels like this is the fucking end of the world. It's like we started off with COVID. Then we went to, I ain't even worried about the damn murder hornets. And then it just seems like within the month. Look, the murder hornets, bitch, please.
Murder hornets. This is the least of our worries.
That's the least of our worries. And then within this month, we've lost, what? More, I mean, a woman's at home, in her bed, a fucking first responder, with a no knock warrant. And then they try to prosecute the boyfriend for shooting.
Right.
And see, I'm terrible and I don't have my notebook in front of me. Then a man can't even run down the damn street. I don't give a fuck if he was in the house. How many people have gone into a daggone house? Like, that's being built just to look around and be nosy.
People do it all the time.
Yeah.
They absolutely do it all the time. The property doesn't technically belong to anybody. It belongs to the bank. It belongs to who is the lien holder. And until a structure is fully formed, it's just, that's all it is a structure.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And then on top of that, it did, but you get people who deputize themselves go out and shoot it. And it seemed like once George Floyd happened, that seems to have disappeared. I'm not even sure what is going on with that case. And I was at work.
They upped the charges.
Was it with Arbery?
Wait, did you say they dropped the fucking charges?
They upped the charges to second degree murder.
Oh, thank God.
All the cops have been charged.
They've all been charged.
No, I'm talking about the two men in Georgia with the guy.
Oh, I thought you said George.
Oh, yeah. They made their first court appearance yesterday.
Oh, so they did.
Yeah,
it's
gonna
go to trial, right?
It's oh, I'm sure.
Wait, you said Floyd or Georgia?
Georgia.
Oh, never mind. I thought you were talking about Floyd. Not that bad.
Okay, I did. I know.
There's so much shit happening. I don't know.
I was gonna say it's like over fucking load,
right?
And then we've got the orange Cheeto, or whatever the fuck you want to call him. Just, what, Debbie, what's the term?
Inciting.
Not exciting, but what's the term where it's just like, it's like code.
It's like what?
Dog whistling.
Dog whistling, thank you.
Okay.
It's like every time he opens his mouth, it's directly for his base. And then yesterday was the anniversary of Tiananmen Square. And we have what they're calling little green men. Have y'all heard that term?
Yes.
I've heard.
No.
Little green men are these men in fatigues.
Oh, the secret police.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the secret police that you cannot identify, and they haven't been able to prove exactly where the fuck they're coming from. I wish Linda was here, because for years she's been talking about, do you know there's going to be a martial law? She said, mm-hmm. we're going to be on the verge of civil war.
We are now.
And I kept going, girl, you are over-exaggerating. I mean, Linda's been saying this before even Obama was in the office. She said, no, you need to read the book. She said, I think Obama's going to be our last real president. And she said, after this, it's going to all go to shit. I'm like, no. I'm like, you, Linda, you're overreacting. I said, you know, we have the Constitution. Lord.
No, this is payback. This is payback for 8 years of Obama. That's literally all this is.
Exactly, like, what it is.
They were so butthurt and so big mad about 8 years of a non-white man being in power that they said, we have something for you. We're going to give you the worst of the worst of the worst. Not only are we going to give you the worst of the worst, he's unqualified. Like, that's right. My biggest issue with him is you are an unqualified individual. Regardless of what people think about Hillary, she was a qualified woman to do the job. And now we're stuck with whatever shit show of a human being that we have right now.
Like, well, this is just a result of what happens when people don't vote.
Bingo.
Agreed. As well, yes.
I don't like this candidate, so I'm not going to vote. Well, look right. Where we are yeah. Now.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And then, because I get on my coworker, who me and him would go toe-to-toe. And I'd be like, okay, he's like, well, I can't fucking vote for Trump and I can't fucking vote for Hillary. He says, so I'm just not voting. Mm. I'm like, no. I'm like, you're gonna have to choose the lesser of two evils. And he was like, I don't have to vote. And I was like, no. And I was like, you don't understand. You need to vote. And he was like, well, he was like, no, it's a waste. After all this, once he was elected, I said, what the fuck did I tell you about voting? Me and him just cuss back and forth. And he's like, well, I still don't think it would. And he was like, no, I just couldn't do him. I said, why? I'm like, the lesser of two, as like Black people have been choosing the lesser of two evils in most elections for all their voting time. I think it's just like there's always been some problem with a candidate. Nobody's perfect. Somebody's problematic.
Correct.
Biden.
They're all politicians.
Correct. Right.
Regardless.
Exactly.
And I'm like, it's just like I've had issues with Biden, but if it comes down to Trump or Biden, hell yeah, I'm voting Biden. I would vote Ronald McDonald. I would, you know. I'd vote whoever.
Any capable adult.
Bingo. For me, someone who is not going to incite and use religion to, and okay, am I the only one who took civics and took history and government? Whatever happened to the fucking separation between church and state?
Thank you.
They don't care
church
about
and
that.
State. I remember. Me and Debbie are old enough to remember when they removed prayer from the schools because it was infringing on other people's rights. We ended up having to have silent reading or silent reflection time. That way you didn't infringe on someone who was Jewish or Muslim or whatever, that, you know, everybody could pray in a way. Man, Ramonda, we're the same age. I don't know if you remember that. I just remember I was at Hamilton and when they took that out.
And it was not appropriate. Because the bottom line, you know, if you are a Christian, if you are a Muslim, whatever your religious practice is or not, practice that in your own time. If you believe God, love God, then why should I be subject to your belief system?
Bingo.
But I will say, I want to go back to something you mentioned earlier about the young man with this structure that was being erected. All of that is a narrative that spun to try to justify the crime that was committed. No matter whether he robbed the place,
right.
There was still no justification for the murder of that young man. And it just immediately reminded me of a movie from the 90s, when, what is it? Queen Latifah, Jada Pinkett, what was that movie?
Set It Off.
Yes, when Jada Pinkett's character's young brother was murdered by the police, and they tried to find something to stick on him, because they realized they had messed up. He was not in the gang, and they were so disheartened that the young man had a good record, and that's something that has perpetuated these cases time and time again. Well, you know, when the police have crimes against individuals, they always try to spin this narrative that somehow that person was worthy of their fate. Mm-hmm. And it,
$20.
And all it is really static and noise to distract from the real issue of police brutality in this nation.
Well, and the real issue is, had I been walking down that street in somebody's house and then took off running, they wouldn't have shot me. Right. They shot that man because of the color of his skin. Period. Right. Simple. There's period. If that had been me, none of that shit would have happened.
And Debbie, you was the designer, honey. Are you here to pick out drinks and design the walls? Are you
exactly.
The designer?
Exactly.
And Debbie, you remember what happened like just this summer. I drive a stick shift. I live in a predominantly black neighborhood. I came to a four-way stop and it's almost impossible for me to roll through because I normally shift down. So I made my turn, came two blocks up, then cut through the back of the alley, pulled in behind my house, and I look and there's cops behind me. And I'm like, what the fuck? And I roll down my window and I'm like, is there a problem? He said, you ran a four-way stop. And the way he looked at me, it was like, I wouldn't expect it to be a female in a car.
Right. Short hair. He didn't know.
Was I on the phone with you or Crinkle, Debbie? And Spencer came to the door.
Me, yeah.
And Spencer was like, Mom, are you all right? Are you all right? And he started to step. I said, stay right where you are.
Yeah.
And then he was like, well, I said, do you realize that I'm driving a stick shift? I would have had shift as I shifted down and my foot would have been on the brake. And he was like, well, I'm just going to let you off for one. No, you followed me basically two blocks, turned a whole alley and then into my thing and then turned on your lights. If I had committed a crime, why didn't you stop me then and there? You were trying to figure out where I was going, maybe if I was a dope boy or something like that. You thought I was a male. And this is not the first time I've been stopped by cops and they look at me. In Atlanta, they stopped me on Six Flags when I'm making a left-hand turn onto the freeway. And the guy jumped and I was smoking a cigarette. He's like, are you covering up alcohol with your cigarettes? I'm like, I'm wearing fucking scrubs, dude. I'm on my way to work. But I let you off with a warning. No, he was looking for a black male on Six Flags. I just happened to have a little small car that probably looked like a little sports car or whatever, and I would have short hair, and from behind, you can mistake me for a male. And not that, and maybe I probably shouldn't have been like, you know, cussing him out or whatever, because it probably wouldn't have mattered if I was male or female. My ass probably could still got hurt. I was just so fucking pissed. I was just like, why did you stop me? And then Spencer. Remember when they tried to mug Spencer at the store, Debbie?
Mm-hmm.
My son is, what, how tall is Spencer? 6'3", 6'4". He's a gigantic, giant, mushy, you know, the boy is just, I won't say super gentle, but he's not the typical black thug. The boy is all into anime and all kind of stuff, and three guys jumped. Spencer beat the shit out of the three guys and called the cops. Who the fuck did they hold the gun on?
Answer.
Mm-hmm. And the same thing happened to his daddy. And people's like, well, what are they doing something wrong? Something happened in California when Spencer was a baby. I'm like, most Black people have had an experience with the police, or several experiences. I've got several. I'm sure y'all either have had 1, 2, 3, 4. It don't matter if you're male, female, whatever. It's the color of your skin gets you stopped. And it's just scary. And I'm sorry, I'm running on caffeine. And if I'm taking over, bring it on in.
Well, I was thinking, I would like to go back to the conversation about the reason Trump is in office is because of voting. I want to reiterate that Trump lost the popular vote.
Sure did.
And yeah. So when we talk about whether we took civics, there's this really interesting thing called the Electoral College, which was designed to almost ensure that certain people maintained the presidency.
Yep.
Right.
So when you have situations where 54% of white women voted against their own interests by voting against Hillary, and then you have this the excuse of big states like Texas and California against little states like Maine, so we need the Electoral College to balance the numbers, that may be fine, but that Electoral College has also consistently overridden what the regular people say at the polls.
Bingo.
Yes.
And I think it's really, we really have to pay homage to the people who are saying, none of these candidates represent me. And I get it. I vote, but I also understand the courage that it takes to say, I'm not voting for none of y'all, because ain't nobody here for me. Like, we like to dog those people who don't vote. And I'm always interested in the percentage of voters who didn't vote, who were not eligible to vote. Because everybody who didn't vote couldn't. Some people couldn't vote who didn't vote.
That's because they're making it harder and hard. It's just like the...
It used to be if you had a felony conviction, that was the main reason you didn't vote. Now it's if you are registered as Susie P. Jones versus Susie A. Jones or whatever, and you're the same person, you can't vote. Like, voter suppression is a conversation we need to have, and not just people are choosing not to vote, because that is an old narrative that is no longer working. Mm-hmm. It's not that people choose not to vote. They are systematic tactics that are crafted and upheld as to ensure that certain people are elected president. So it's far more that people are just choosing to sit home and sit out of elections. Sure, there are people who are choosing to sit out of elections, but if you talk to those people, a lot of those people are choosing to sit out of elections on some really courageous and powerful reasons, not because they're ignorant and don't understand civics.
Mm-hmm. I didn't think, most people are not ignorant. I just think that in this country, we've just gotten so spoiled as to not, we don't do anything and plan ahead. You know what I mean? Or we don't really know our own history. You should be, I feel like, I've been voting since I was 18. I've been registered since I was 17. You know, people died for us to have the right to vote.
But I think an easier question would be to ask ourselves, what are valid reasons people choose not to vote? Not
right.
I mean, valid reasons people choose not to vote. What are some really valid reasons? And that might lend us to stop saying people just ain't voting.
I hear what you're saying, but on the other side of that, when those statistics about people who have not voted, who sat out an election, it's not taking into account the people who were restricted because of felonies and that type of thing. These are people who are on the rolls, registered voters, who have chosen not to.
And I'm talking about those people asking valid questions. Why would those people choose not to vote? And you will probably be surprised that a lot of the answers are not just because I don't feel like voting.
Right.
Like, I would imagine that to get me from to go from being a voter to a non-voter, I would have had to reach such a level of annoyance and frustration with the political process that I just throw my hands up. Mm-hmm. And for me, those people, that's the greater number of people who are choosing, who are eligible to vote, who don't vote, have really gotten to the point where they're that frustrated with democracy that they're like, fuck it. And that is a very different person than
democracy anymore.
They tired. That's a very different person than I'm just out here, I'm just not gonna vote just cause. People are like downtrodden to the point of throwing their hands up.
Right.
But see, are those people actually speaking? Most of the people that I've talked to or whatever is like, well, I'm not voting because of this. I'm not voting. I'm like, or basically, I'm not voting because I'm not getting my way. I don't want Hillary. So I'm, and I don't want Trump. So I'll vote on everything else. But then I'm skipping that.
But look at the conversation we always have. We like, I vote for Ronald McDonald before I, like, the level of lack of representation that of the options that we given is sky high. Like, we really like, give me anybody who can formulate a sentence. The level of desperation that we at is like, for real. We really are, we really don't have viable candidates like that.
And it has... Trump just brought all of that to the front, or it's just like, you know, I just remember people going, oh, he's not going to win. He's a joke.
I never thought that.
Hell no, I never think that.
I remember crying the next morning when I saw that. I'm a grown ass man and I cried.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Right. Yep.
Because you knew what was up.
Are you kidding me? So, and she, you're absolutely right about the voter suppression. So in the state of Florida, we just passed a law that felons who have been released are now allowed to vote. Hmm. However, now they've gone to a different type of suppression. They have to pay all of their fines and all of their fees. Mm-hmm. So the voters of Florida said, yes, we want these people's voices to be heard, and we're a Republican state. God forbid. Mm-hmm. But now they're passing all these laws to say, well, yeah, the voters have said that you can vote, but now you need to meet this condition and this condition. So
that should be unconstitutional.
Total agreement with you with the voter suppression stuff, because listen, so we passed a law to kind of counteract voter suppression. Well, guess what? We're going to come out with another law that's going to keep you from voting.
Yeah.
That's what did Al Sharpton say? Get your knee off my neck. The whole thing is nothing but
our necks.
On everybody, they keep putting obstacles in everybody's way.
You knock one down, they're gonna pass another one.
Right. And I'm sorry, even COVID-19, the fact that this motherfucker didn't take action, it's just like this has been a systematic takedown of the U.S. We have become the laughing stock of the entire world. We've gone from being quote unquote leaders to we have burned every bridge with every ally. We have cozied up to every motherfucking dictator it's just like, and with COVID, it's just like, oh, 15 people. It ain't gonna happen. And even now, it's just like we're up to what, over 109,000 people who have fucking died. Two people died last night in the hospital. And it's just like, people are like, oh, but it's over. I'm like, I'm looking at pharmacists and doctors, educated motherfuckers who are walking around without fucking masks. And I'm like, that is the most selfish shit I have ever seen in my goddamn life. Because number one, I'm sorry, I'm starting to scream. Sorry.
Those are my rights. You don't have to infringe upon my right to wear a mask.
It's not protecting you. It's protecting the people that are around you. And it was funny. I went to
What about me?
I give a fuck about everybody. It's just like, no, I went to a corner store today to buy some cigarettes. Don't say nothing, Debbie. Whoever. Yes, I know I need to quit. Mm-hmm. And I had my mask on. I turn around and this man is up on me.
Oh,
and
geez.
I'm just like, no mask, no nothing. And I turn around, I said, you do realize I work in a hospital. And I said, I was in a COVID room last night and two people died in the hospital. I suggest you back up. And girl, I didn't realize there was a whole line. I turned around the whole motherfucking line. I'm gonna have to use this shit over and over again every time I go. So
I got it, y'all. I got it. That's what you need to do.
It's really? Like
start coughing.
It's like I work at a hospital. Spencer works at motherfucking Kroger's. I'm like, the second surge is coming. We already
I think it's the third surge, actually.
I know. Third and the fourth gonna be coming.
It's coming, and it's just like, we're lining stuff up in the hospital and stuff. It's like, we're stockpiling and all that. They're like, but oh, it's not coming. And it's like, pharmacists walk by and are like, oh, I don't need to wear a mask and so and so and so. And then one girl started coughing. Next thing you know, I see, bitch, you put your mask on, didn't you? I'm like, yo, it's just like, I'm sitting there like, oh, I know so much more. I'm educated. You're a 28-year-old pharmacist who barely been here. You're sitting there watching Fox News, and I'm working at a Catholic hospital.
It's mandatory, Emory. We all have
no, it is mandatory, but they're not enforcing it here in Ohio.
Oh,
this is what is fucking killing me. Like, oh, it's okay, it's okay. And I was like, I'm at the point where I'm about to write every fucking one of y'all up if y'all do not put your goddamn mask on. I mean, well, I'm just like a
friend of mine said, you know, for all these people who choose not to wear the mask, who are taking a personal stance because it's infringing upon their rights, you need to sign some sort of waiver, or if you That's go to the hospital, some sort of, you know, when they do the intake and ask you, have you been taking the proper precautions? Where have you been? And we find out, oh, you were just dying to go to the bar and sit down and have a drink. Well, guess what? I feel like my friend feels like you should be turned away for service. You should not be a drain on the resources because you personally chose to not follow the risk guidelines to reduce the risk to yourself and others.
And bringing this back to the election, it's like, that is a whole nother level of fucking voter suppression. So these states are making people go out and vote and risk their lives to vote. People are scared to vote because they're scared of dying. And then it's just like, when this shit hits in November, mail-in voting, it's like Ohio's always had mail-in voting. Everybody's always had mail-in voting. It is not, and it's like all of a sudden this is just, oh, it's a scam for the Democrats.
Why the government cannot establish a voting app in 2020 is beyond me.
I know, right?
Thank you.
Get you to sign up for healthcare before the shit crashing.
I can't.
Right. Is anybody else from Georgia?
Yes, me.
In here?
Mm-hmm.
So I saw on the ballot that there is a question because you guys were talking about people who have served time, criminals, and should they have their rights to vote? So that is a question on the Georgia ballot this time. But I want to see where that's going to go.
Thank God
for. Of course, I'm going to say yes, but where is it going to go from there? Like you said, they're just going to suppress it in a different way.
Right? Yeah, they will. Mm-hmm. Especially if it's a Republican administration, they will for sure.
Which it is because they stole the election from Stacey.
Mm-hmm. Yep. So how many more years do we have to wait before we vote for another governor? Is it at least two?
Another question is, should we allow people to register to vote and vote on the day?
Yes.
That's another question for us.
Yes. The answer is yes.
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 Yes. Other societies, they can actually do that, yes. And we need a holiday.
Go back to the popular vote versus electoral, because honestly, I'm also here to learn. So. I've never understood the electoral
because it's taught. It's a loop de loop.
And like my aunt, that's what she says. Why do I need to go vote? Because it doesn't even count. Because
it does and it doesn't.
And she's right.
Right, and she's wrong at the same time.
Yes. College is you are voting to put yourself like if a whole bunch of Democrats vote, then I know this is a terrible way to explain it. Then the Democrat that's in that college, they'll vote for you. If the Republican side gets more votes, then they get that portion.
No, okay. The Electoral College is based on number of people, population.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Well, that's what I understand. Why
the Electoral College
count?
Does not have to vote. They can vote any way they want to. So even if their state says, I want this person to win, that person has the power to go, nope, I want this one.
Yep. The electorate can vote against their party.
They sure can.
So I'm saying, like, if California is bigger than Georgia, I mean, I don't understand.
Georgia has more electorates. If California is bigger, if they have more population, Georgia gets more electorates, but we don't know who the, I don't know if the electorates are public information.
They are.
Okay.
Now, to go back to your, I'm sorry, I don't know your name because it just says iPhone.
But Michelle.
What is it?
Michelle.
Your vote does count in that the popular vote, which is the vote of the people like me and you, contributes to the number of electoral votes that your state is represented with. And other persons have mentioned correctly that the electors that actually cast the vote for the president, they can vote against the wants of the state. Historically, that's never happened because we only had a few elections that's ever been decided by the electoral vote. But the big problem here is that because this came up when Gore won the popular vote, but Bush won the electoral college, right? And so people were outraged because this was supposedly a plan that was put in place to make voting more fair because there were more populous states in the South.
Damn,
so the South didn't have all the influence before the West was populated. So that's one piece of it. But the nation is now populated in a different way that we don't really need the Electoral College anymore. But we're not outraged long enough we have not held anybody's feet to the fire to say,
right,
let's disband this Electoral College. It would take a constitutional amendment to do so. People were outraged because Gore won the popular vote, but he did not win the election to Bush, right? You remember that?
Stay outraged.
Woke back up like, what?
When that happened, that's when we should have started the process to eliminate the Electoral College.
But we don't.
Who has been in charge focused on the wrong things? That's the problem. People don't have the stamina right now to keep the momentum to focus on the bigger picture and be forward thinking when it comes to what can happen if this happens again. We need to make sure this doesn't happen. It's just like people were mad about it and then it was like, okay, it's tomorrow.
Yeah.
Right. But see, who does the electoral college benefit? It typically benefits Republicans. So anything they try to bring up to get rid of the electoral college, it keeps getting voted down.
We have to stop succumbing to the local level. Because we are the they. But just like you said, Winter, we don't have the attention span that's long enough to affect any change. Let me give you a contemporary example. Just like Colin Kaepernick had took a stand by not, you know, he had this protest and we couldn't stay away from, I'm talking about the collective we. We couldn't stay away from the NFL long enough to
a month.
I know.
He still hadn't even gotten a job.
Yeah.
And still had lost everything. But we, you know, there are no more Montgomery bus boycotts where people came together and
I've been saying that all week.
Yes.
There are no more because we can't be inconvenienced long enough. I've got to have my Monday night football.
We don't have the fortitude of our parents and grandparents.
Yeah. I remember asking a friend of mine about that. I said, well, why don't y'all just, boycott football? And he looked at me like I was crazy.
I realized them boycotts lasted over a year. They lasted like 300, almost 400 days of boycotting the buses. And I would love to see New Yorkers not ride MT8 for 400 days.
Ooh.
New York would fold.
Good, because MTA needs to fold.
Yes, thank you.
But that's the thing. The best way to, in my opinion, affect change, yes, it happens with voting, but there's one universal language that everybody speaks.
Money.
When you spending money. Those dollars to the system, they will pay attention. Just like you said with the Montgomery bus boycott, when they got sick and tired of losing money, they finally caved and said, okay, we have to do something. And I think that for me, and just looking at everything that's going on right now, I said, you know, we're not organized. I'm like, who the F is in charge? Who is leading the movement? Who has designed some sort of achievable plan that we can get in term to get us from A to B to C in order to truly affect change financially, because I feel like that's one of the main ways that they will pay attention to us.
And you are when we were all talking back in 2015, I'm a gay man, and when we were trying to get marriage equality passed, I said, I bet you if every gay person in this country refused to pay taxes, they'd start to listen.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
If they ain't getting our money, it's all about money. You said, Winter, mm-hmm. you said it.
You're right.
Withhold our dollars, and I bet they start to listen.
Right.
Yep.
Yeah,
I would withhold dollars, and it'll all make sense.
It sure will.
Mm-hmm.
Who put out that list of Deborah was restaurants?
Deborah was about to say something.
Oh, no, no. I was getting ready to say, Winter, to your point about not having a plan or, you know, I think I was watching MSNBC and apparently, I don't know the details, but people who started Black Lives Matter apparently have a long list, a plan of, you know, things that the Black community, you know, can do. So, you know, I don't know where that's going to go, but.
Well, that's what I was going to say. Like, we say who's in charge, but I think sometimes we sanitize history. There were people staunchly against civil rights movements.
Right.
It's like people are staunchly against, Black folk are staunchly against Black Lives Matter. So we have a lot of organized people with solid plans, but it's so many, it's taken so much to actually come together and support those targeted plans. I've seen people downplay Black Lives Matter, the solid plans they have. And I talked to my mom and grandma about how people downplay King and downplay all of them.
Yep.
Yeah, I'm like in the 60s.
Yeah.
This is why I really wanted Karen to be here with us. But who was I talking to? Mommy, when she said it, then another Black co-worker said it, and somebody else said it, they was like, well, why don't they just stay home? I'm like, where would we have been if people in the 60s had stayed home?
Wow. I know, right?
Well, they're out there looting, and as everybody is now out there, look, how many videos have you seen of people like, don't do that, don't do it, they're gonna blame it on us, and I said, it's all been a fucking setup.
It was such a small percentage of the people, but they just keep playing those, you know, playing it over and over again.
They had this thing that came out that New Orleans is seeing an increase in people checking into hotels back home. And they think that it's people coming to make it look like it's New Orleanians tearing up New Orleans. It started coming out today that they having more people check into our hotels that's not natives.
That's
and they hiding bricks and shit in certain places, and they having a child.
Right.
That's actually been nationwide. Here,
downtown Columbus, when people had our quote unquote riot.
Nationwide.
The people coming in Florida that's not Floridians.
Yes, ma'am. And New York.
Georgia.
Everywhere. They are following the email trails of these people. It's the white nationalist bullshit. They're the ones
coming to register in the hotels to pretend.
Yes. Yes.
And to go to the protests in order to cause trouble.
Cause trouble.
Protesters who are causing trouble.
It's the nationalists coming to the other cities.
Yes.
Isn't that what they said? The people that tore up CNN downtown and everywhere they were from out of town.
Yep. I saw today that they actually have pictures of white people in these nationalist groups, and they have paper trails. Who are the ones who are bashing down windows and starting fires? And,
not the people who live there.
No, ma'am.
No, they're usually dressed in black. And have a mask mostly covered up their face. You might see their eyeballs, and that's pretty much it. When they try to catch them or try to stop them, you know, they'll just keep walking.
Because they're trying to make the narrative that it is the peaceful protesters who are doing. It's not.
It's not.
It's people who are trying to make this movement look bad and sending in these outside people to do violence.
But then they give you hope, though. It gives me a little hope that we are at least in tune with this.
Yes. Yeah,
that's so. Never been said before. Everybody's always blamed the looting on, you know, the people who are doing the protests, and i.e. mostly Black people. It's like, mm-hmm. everybody can see that's not the case.
Yep.
You know, well, not at least
some of us can see, and it's our job to educate the peoples who can't see.
Right. Yeah, here in some Columbus, we that. Had a live feed when it first started happening, and we were watching that at work, and I was like, it was like there was a young white man on top of a pole breaking the lights and throwing stuff.
I heard about that.
And I'm like, and I'd never forget, one of the pharmacists was like, see, this is why the riots started. So I'm like, I truly doubt he part of the movement.
Yeah, he's not.
Mm-hmm. He's just there to cause chaos.
Thank you. They're causing chaos to make the movement look bad.
Yeah. Right. And the media is the media is doing half a good job and half a good. Did you see the video of the white woman leaving the daggone looted store? And they was like, well, maybe she works there.
I did not see that.
No, I saw that, and it was on TV. You saw it?
No, the heifer was stealing.
Maybe she's trying to protect the store and the merchandise. Well, thank you. Ma'am, can you let us know what you're doing? Yeah, I saw that. Just like I saw the people in Santa Monica, and like my senior year college roommate lives in Inglewood. I visit her often, so she's sending me all the stuff that's going on in LA, and I'm bored and hopped on a scooter and rolled away. I'm like, really? Wow. Let's be doing that. We don't need a damn surfboard.
Yep. So I want to talk about qualified immunity that I just read about today and knew nothing about.
What's that?
I need to teach me.
Let us know.
You read about it in what?
It is how, wait, qualified. Officers are not going to be held accountable for their, you know, against somebody's civil rights.
Did you see them
violating someone's civil rights?
They're not going to be held accountable. It's a law.
That's how they're not held accountable.
What's it called?
Qualified immunity.
It kind of sounds like when you sue,
so like qualified I'm sorry. Go ahead.
You go ahead and get. I'm still thinking.
Qualified means if this happens and that happens, then this is the result. So what they're trying to say is because these officers are defending the businesses and the community, we are not going to hold them. And if I'm reading wrong into this, let me know. They're not going to hold them responsible. So that's right. Because of this situation.
For violating their civil rights.
Yes. Because of this situation, it's all legal bullshit jargon. So that they can protect the police. Qualified immunity.
As I'm reading it, it says, a legal doctrine in United States federal law that shields government officials from being sued for discretionary actions performed within an official capacity.
Yes.
That's what I was getting ready to say.
Violate clearly established federal laws or constitutional.
Mumbo jumbo.
So the cops would represent the state, basically. You can't
sue the city. I'm a cop. I'm representing the state. I can do whatever the fuck I want to.
So that's the step before martial law.
Well, child, did you see what they did to that old 90-year-old man? Those
you heard that crack when they
75.
Knocked that man down. Like, literally.
Then when the one cop was trying to help him, the other cop pulled him away. Don't help the man.
I almost threw my computer across the room. I was so mad.
Did you see that they suspended the two cops that did it, and that 57 cops have quit in protest.
As it should be.
Good.
Wow. Good.
Should be.
So qualified immunity says that cops represent the state, so they cannot be penalized for actions they take if they beat a person upside the head.
Against the citizen because they are acting for the state.
Yeah.
That is martial law.
Child, you ain't lying.
Qualified immunity.
Hey, how y'all doing?
Okay, how are you?
Hello.
I see y'all already deep into conversation.
Don't send me the message. We're
just getting warmed up.
Okay. But we've never met. I met him through Nas. They have a podcast I didn't even know that he had. And he was like, you would love to join. And I said, you are more than welcome.
Yes, I appreciate you having me on. Wish we both could have been on, but, you know, he had some things going on. But I'm here just to represent for us and speak on it with everyone else. And
okay.
Y'all in good form, so y'all, we should be on the same page here.
Okay. Well, Quentin, we just learned about qualified immunity. Some bullshit.
Pretty much.
I brought something to the table. Hey.
Girl, you bringing something to the table by just being here.
Come on.
I just read about it today, and I was like, what the hell is this?
That's a problem.
It's a good point. Like, somebody, and this is why we have to think, people have to be much more forward thinking. And I don't know if it's just, you know, the things that I've done in my professional career. Like, I have to think about risk. I have to think about plan A, B, C, D, E, F, and G. You need to think those things, like, worst case scenario, what can happen. And I feel like with a lot of these fail safes that the system has in place for the police force, somebody thought this shit up. Somebody was like, well, what can happen if, you know, they try to come back and sue us? What if, you know, what if we're not in the wrong and they're in the wrong? Somebody thought this up. Somebody wrote this up and somebody made it a law. And I just, we've got to fix it. I mean, the system itself is broken.
Majority of the laws are just to keep whoever's in power in power.
Correct. And they thought about that for themselves and their people.
Right. It's like they've thought about how with them putting all these judges on the benches and young conservative judges that are going to be around a long time.
You heard that they're trying to make
gone.
It's the old, he's trying to make the old judges retire so that he can put new people in.
Right.
Yeah, that's what Kavanaugh is. He's just another plant. But it's all systematic. That's the part that a lot of people who aren't involved in law and don't pay attention to the real not the politics, but the actual legislation behind the politics.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So when we say things like it's systematic, they don't even understand what we mean. But that's exactly what we mean. There's a system in place to protect the police from doing wrong. There's a system set up specifically, and there's funds set up specifically to pay out the civil suits that come from when the police are found to be doing wrong. And instead of it coming out of police pensions, guess where the money comes from? The taxpayers. So,
I think one of Black Lives Matter's bullet points demands is to fund all these trials out of cop pensions.
Yeah.
And trying to shift the source of the money, which is why I'm like, and all that we can complain about Black Lives Matter, they have some solid demands. Mm-hmm, and I do remember one of them, because there was a guy, and you could tell he had been hollering at the protest, and he was explaining how they are trying to shift the source of the money that funds all these civil suits and stuff to make cops pay for them.
Wow.
Yeah, they should.
That would be a beautiful thing.
I think a lot of people also don't realize that it starts at the head. Obama, he may not have been the perfect president for Black people, but he tried. And he had a lot of things in place that when Donald Trump came in, he removed.
Wiped them out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Including especially the offense that would have saved us from coronavirus.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, that's a whole nother monster.
Trump closed that office.
Yeah, Trump closed that office. He took away some of the stuff that Obama put in as far as the body cam stuff. Mm. He tried to make it so that they don't always have to wear them. That's why you see so many different states where sometimes they don't even have them on and they won't get in trouble for it.
Mm-hmm.
Technically, that should be evidence that was tampered with. If you turned off your body cam, that's like tampering with evidence, but it's laws in place. And Trump did some executive orders to like stop some of those things from being enforced.
The police and the police unions are very powerful.
Yep.
And they apparently, I heard today that apparently they're upset with Biden because of his last speech about all this and I guess whatever he said about the police. So it sounds like they're going to go with Donald Trump.
Yes, of course they will. The
police. And I was like, God damn.
Of course they will. Look, the that's men what? In green. If somebody has speculated, it's a combination of police, federal, and whoever else. It's just like, yes, basically his own private fucking army.
Yeah. Barr got them together. What does Stephen Schmidt call it? He's the acting like the interior ministry or something. He's gotten all these different people from different organizations like the Bureau of Federal Prisons, and they don't have any identification.
That's wild.
It is. That's next world stuff. Like, what in the hell?
Yeah, that way they can't be held accountable. You don't know who they are. You don't know what agency they're from. They're just there.
Mm-hmm. And I'm scared shitless of November. In other countries,
we use these little green men, these people who are off the grid, when we go into other countries and force our views on them for democracy or whatever the case is. We just never dreamed in our lifetime that those same types of tactics would be used on us as the American people.
And but they are being used.
That whole American exceptionalism, child.
And I guess I've always thought that eventually, and I know I used to tell my mom this kind of thing, I've always kind of thought that this was going to actually happen. Maybe not exactly, but in the United States, we are so used and spoiled to the things that happen around the world. Oh, they don't happen here.
Yep.
You know what I mean? And like in Rwanda, you know, with that civil unrest and uprising, and when they were killing each other, and I remember watching a documentary about it and how the radio would come on and it would tell people, you know, go out, kill your neighbor, you know, and do these certain things. And I remember one time when I was driving to Ohio years ago, I think it was when Obama was running for president, and hearing people on right wing radio talk was chilling. Mm-hmm. And I was thinking to myself, you know, the same kind of thing can happen here.
It is already happening.
Now it's coming to fruition. Right. Now, what was Trump doing holding that Bible upside down in front of the church? I'm like, this is a signal.
They what got him in trouble. Doing,
gassing people so that he could make his little speech. Mm-hmm. Well, the protesters, they dropped gas bombs on those people to move them out so his coward ass could walk out and have a speech.
Right.
That was a mistake by Trump, though, because the military, General Mattis, who used to be on his team, and John Kelly, who was a chief of staff, like all these different people have came out against him. And against that, and if he loses military support, all he has is police. So that would explain why he's trying so hard to get these police chiefs to support him.
You're because
when generals come out and say the commander in chief is unfit and is immature, if he loses the support of the military, then he won't have this. He won't be able to bump his chest out like he do, talking about bringing in military into neighborhoods and all that, because the military won't support him. My question is, where is Congress?
Where
is Congress? Can't they do something to him? I know we impeached him once, but I feel like this should be impeachable. You threatening the military on your own people.
Yeah.
We didn't impeach him.
No, the House did.
The House impeached him.
Yeah, right. Congress ain't did shit.
Congress ain't impeached him.
Well, the
Mitch
House
McConnell, that's just like,
but he needs to be removed.
I know what you meant, though.
Well,
I know what you meant. Wait
till McConnell's out.
Yeah.
It's just like, they impeached. It's just like, that's because it's the party.
25th Amendment. 25th motherfucking amendment.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Motherfucker's crazy.
Yeah.
25th Amendment.
Should be removed immediately.
Thank you. Honey, and he should have been removed when he was talking about grabbing people's private parts. The president of the United States.
That's how you won, because then they brought out.
Imagine if Barack Obama would have said that. Child, they would have burned this country down.
Speaking of burning this country, I think that's probably the only reason they are going to convict the guy in Minnesota. I think they think that if they don't, we will burn it down.
Well, they know
that's the only thing that got me thinking he may get convicted.
And he's going to get convicted.
Well, I think that's why they won't remove him, because they scared all them other people was going to burn it down. All his little followers.
Well, I think he'll get
convicted. I never thought we could be this close to civil war. We exactly. are this fucking close to a real civil war.
We are.
If November hits, and even if Biden wins, do you think this motherfucker is going to go without a fight?
No.
No.
Between him and Barr.
He'll never concede.
Mm-mm.
He'll never concede.
And as I said, when he first got election, I said, he's going to be the cause of real bloodshed in the United States for the first time since actually the first Civil War.
He already has. And
he'll hide in his bunker.
I'm talking about, this is going to be something that we never thought we was going to see in our lifetime. But just like with all those people showing up, the militia people showing up at the when in your lifetime has anybody shown up at a government anything? I don't care if it was a post office with a goddamn gun.
You know why? Because they were all white.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, didn't he say Monday we was waiting on a MAGA night? I'm sorry, Winter.
No, I was just saying, I agree with my cousin Rick. It's because they're white, and so they're held to a completely different standard. Remember, absolutely. It's set up like this way from the beginning.
Can you imagine if a bunch of black men would have showed up at the state house in Michigan with machine guns? I mean, it would have been an entirely different story.
All they had to do was ride up in their cars, and they'd only had to do was get out the car together, and it would have been a problem. They would have said, "Oh my goodness." We have a bunch of black men that are holding guns. We don't know if they are criminals. We need the police down here immediately because we are afraid and because we are scared. But because they are white and this is the way the system is designed, go back to, you know, the rebellions and the protests, for lack of a better word, we'll use both. You look at those, you need to tell me that I'm standing here with nothing. I have no weapons, I have nothing, but you are ready to literally kill me. You are ready to take me down. But these people can stand with machine guns and screening your face, and you want to tell me you feel threatened? Because that's the way, those are their people. Let me tell you, that shit was probably motherfucking orchestrated, okay? I'm going to stay here, you yell in my face, and we're going to go and have drinks afterwards.
AR-15s in a state government house.
Mm-hmm. It wouldn't even have made it on the fucking lawn.
Now they wouldn't have got out of the car.
Look, we show up with a daggone book in our hand, we're going to get shot.
Always said that when they started buying weapons back when Obama was in office, if we had started the same thing, this might like Winter, you know, think long-term strategy. We should have said, let's start buying guns now. Use the reverse psychology, because they would have made a law. They would have made a law to stop everybody stockpiling on damn guns.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
So, it's hard, though. It isn't as easy for us as it is for them to get them. Mm-hmm. I tried to apply for the license, and the website all of a sudden stopped working.
Oh, it's blowing up.
They purposely make it difficult for people of color to get licensed. Now, I could go find a gun off the street somewhere, but then what? Now I'm illegally holding, you know, have an illegal weapon instead of a legal weapon, which is a crime in itself. But I'm trying to do it legally, and they make it impossible for, you know, people of color to do it legal. They really do. And I'm a homeowner, you know, I have every right to be able to legally own a gun. I own property. And it doesn't matter. People of color, it's difficult. Whereas some states, you can walk into Walmart and walk out with a rifle.
Yep.
But literally buy guns in Walmarts.
Yep.
And see, and that's why, look, one of us is missing today. They went to actually purchase one. And she was like, I had to stand in line. Then I had to stand over here. Then I did this. And then I got to go back. She's like, I'm irritated. I ain't going to make it. I'm like, well, damn. And I have been so anti-gun my entire fucking life.
Me too.
I feel I need to buy one. Just for my protection. I need to
buy one.
And then it's just like, why do I feel, and I don't want to predict anything back. I'm like, I feel that, like, especially where we are congregated at, like, large black communities. there is going to be some serious violence coming where people are going to come into our communities, start shooting shit up. It's like November scares the fuck out of me. It's like, they think the riot on our side, like, and it's not even a fucking riot, it's a protest, and half of us ain't got shit to do with it.
Well,
it's so horrible. It's like, I have pictures of people in daggone pickup trucks driving down, I live on a main street, and I've just shooting at homes. And this shit could possibly happen.
Even before we get to the election, the voter suppression stuff. You got to worry about that, because it's going to be different methods to try to keep people to stop from getting there to the ballot box. Mm-hmm. But yeah, it's scary all around.
Yeah, cause it, I was like, this is nothing. November, when he loses, he's going to, it's enough people, and I am so glad I have seen Black, white, brown, Asian at these marches. These children are...
The speeches and the Mennonites came out.
Mm-hmm. And so it's...
So that's something we need to talk about as a group. How do we, the small group that we are, which there's power in this little small group, how do we address, because this is how we're going to affect change, y'all. We need to bump this fucking voter suppression bullshit in the ass. So, as a group, how do we work together to fight this shit?
Well, the first part is making sure people are registered.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
A lot of young people, I feel, are going to be the difference.
I said the same thing.
Typically, young people don't vote. Most young people don't pay attention. Right. They don't even understand how politics affect their life.
Right. Because
they don't even have a life yet. They think they do, but they don't. So, you know, if you can educate young people on why it's important, and also Donald Trump has helped. He's actually opened the country's eyes.
Right.
When you have, like I said, military men coming out and saying you're immature and shouldn't be president. When you see that in 3 years, we went from a booming economy, healthcare was on the rise in one of the best systems in the world, and we went to a Wall Street crashing, healthcare is a debacle, you have a global pandemic health-wise, a global pandemic of racism that has become a forefront. The country is in shambles in 2020. He's done this in 3 years, and 80% of it was Donald Trump's doing. Right. And so I think his example of just being terrible at it and ignoring, oh, he just says things, but he's going to give me what I want. He just said he morally doesn't matter. Because so many people would say stuff like, morals don't matter. It's just rhetoric. I'm going to give him a chance. Well, no. It matters. The person you are matters. What you stand for matters. And it's clear that it matters because look at the state of the United States of America. We are the weakest we've ever been.
Mm-hmm.
If Russia wanted to hurt us right now, they could. If That's China what I mean. Wanted to hurt us right now, they could.
Right.
If the UK decided to stop being our ally, they have reason to, because he has done everything to alienate anybody and everywhere. We're weak right now. And so he's a perfect example. We need to highlight him and his bad example of why voting matters, why you can't say I'm not gonna vote because I don't like Joe Biden either, but I understand that I have to vote for him.
Yep.
You can't just do what you did last time and say I don't like Hillary, so I'm not gonna vote at all.
Right.
Well, those votes counted for Donald Trump because it was one less vote for the person who should have won.
Mm-hmm.
And by the fact that young people are recruited into military, and young people, I'm learning because I'm doing research on markets, they're more likely to spend more money with a company whose values are aligned with theirs than other generations who would just go for the cheapest product. And so if you are recruiting those same people with those same mindsets in the military, they're going to start being like, this shit is not right.
Mm-hmm.
So the question
and that's probably what we're starting to see.
So it's like, how do we do it?
Look, I'll be honest. This was the first time I was ever going to volunteer to go work at the polls. And then COVID happened. And then I'm like, fuck. I'm like.
But you just said the answer right there. Grassroots movement. That's how we do it. Just like every other thing that's happened in this country, it's grass. It's people like us who are interested. We sit around here and have these conversations. Now, how do we move it to action?
Right.
Yeah.
Just by reporting.
Grassroots movements, cousin. That's what it is.
Yes. Sir.
We've got to motivate and make this shit happen.
Well, I saw one suggestion. I'm sure you all probably heard of it. That everybody try to make sure there are 10 people that you know haven't voted in a while go to the polls.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. You know, so.
Yeah, tell people, you use the platforms that we have. I think in this day and age, I remember when I was, my first time voting was for Obama. I wasn't old enough to vote for Bush at any term, but I was old enough to vote for Obama. And the big thing that happened to make me vote was at that time, Bush was very unpopular. He was very bad because of what happened with Iraq and how he lied. So no one liked George Bush, and it was highlighted how bad he was. And so being a younger person, it was the famous people. It was the people in the music industry. It was the artists. It was the movie stars. Those people influenced the youth. And in this day and age, it's the Instagram influencers. People who are very popular with the YouTube channels. So we need those people.
I ain't gonna lie, I love when Cardi B starts fussing about politics.
I love Cardi B.
Yeah, but you know,
she understands.
Yeah, and younger people will see that. They will see like, okay, if Cardi's saying it, her famous coronavirus is going everywhere, and you can't get rid of it, but it sticks with you because she's famous. So when now, anytime somebody coughs, instead of just saying COVID-19, you hear Cardi B voice. And so that type of influence is important to get these votes. We got to use that same type of influence for elections, the grassroots, the social media. Everybody got to be that voice.
We need to be vocal.
Yeah, I think it is an all-out emergency, and I actually wish this happened before Trump got elected. I wish every celebrity, podcast, whatever, would tell these young people that this is going to be very bad if he gets elected. Don't be comfortable and think that he can possibly not win. And look, he won.
And you know why it didn't happen? Because we had a good president and we were all comfortable. So
complacent.
Thank you, complacent. Yes. We were all comfortable and complacent, and the nation was in a good place. Mm-hmm. However, shit happens and we weren't ready for that.
Yeah,
we were not.
And I do want to offer that many of us have been doing things and been saying this.
Yes, ma'am.
So when people say, "What should we be doing?" Many of us can say with fact that I'm gonna just keep doing what I've been doing because I've been telling y'all and I've been writing about this and I've been publishing this and I've been working with white folk and I've been doing. You know, we have many people who have been true influences before we had this social media influencer.
Right.
No, come up. I'm not going to devalue that. What can we do? That was just a curious question. Mm-hmm. How do we move forward?
Another thing.
Some of us can take little steps. Some of us can take big steps. I just know that I've got like a lot of younger coworkers that I've sort of adopted. I'm like, okay, I need you to look this up. I need you to vote. I need you to vote. And they're like, yes, ma'am. And then even this podcast.
Yeah.
We don't have that big of a following or anything like that. But then I started getting a couple of emails. And
what?
People were asking me, like, where are you at? Where are you at? I'm like, what do you mean, where are you at? I need you to come back and talk about this shit. And I was like, huh? I was like, you really want us to come? She said, yeah. She said, we have, even though, as I said, we've never been perfect. We've always been off the cuff and whatever. They were like, I learned some shit. I learned a little bit from y'all. I'd never paid attention to politics until I heard you guys start talking about it.
That's amazing to me because my daughter has a friend that said he never paid attention to politics until he starts staying with us. And I keep the TV on basically on MSNBC between that and seeing it. I was like, how do you move through the world without...
Yeah.
It's not shocking I learned, and how many, I don't know about y'all, but I worked in a corporate office space. If you've ever worked in like corporate offices, especially in this day and age, it won't shock you. I had a coworker, and he was not a person of color. And he, about 25 at least, 25 to 27 years old. And he says he doesn't pay attention to politics. And I just shook my head at him. But people really live in a bubble. Like they, if it don't affect them, they're not paying attention. They don't care. And this, of course, was when Colin Kaepernick was kneeling. And me as a black person, I'm all for it. I understand what's going on. I'm trying to tell everybody, y'all need to be paying attention. The NFL is wrong. He's a white person,
I was all for it.
Yeah, and he's just like, I don't want to care. I don't care about that. Just play football, you know. And I had to talk to him and educate him. I want to know, do you guys feel that, do we need to try to change people's minds who are like that, who don't really pay attention, who don't really listen, or do we need to just focus on those people who didn't show up, like the ones who didn't like Hillary so they didn't vote? Let's get those people who haven't voted in a while back out
there. It's a combo.
And just ignore those people and, you know, don't try to change people's minds whose minds are already made up, basically. Ignore those people.
It's just like Scuba Steve, my coworker, nicknaming Scuba, 67-year-old white man, always been Republican. It's like me and he called me the tree hugger and stuff. He's like, what about global warming here, woman? It's just like, lately he has been coming to me, you have been right. He's like, the stuff that we've been talking about, he's like, I'm getting tired of you being right. And I'm like, well, sorry. I said, you need to pay attention. We work in, as I said, a Catholic hospital. We have cable TVs throughout the place. One day I walked in there for 3 months and they had removed CNN, but we had nothing but Fox News. And I'm like, what the fuck is going on? It's like really Republican. It's like some of the things they're doing. And I'm like, they're actually blocking the shit in the fucking hospital.
That's Sinclair Broadcasting, probably.
Mm-hmm.
That's something to probably do with that.
Because I kept in the, it's Channel 11, and I was like, there's nothing here. It was nothing but snow. And then all of a sudden, it's this weird sort of Ohio channel showed up that I had never seen before. And I'm like, where the fuck is CNN? It's nothing but, and it's like, they just want the misinformation just constantly out. And I think, I complained, somebody complained, all of a sudden, it was magically back. I'm like, if we're going to have a news channel, we need to have both news channels. If we're not, or we're going to have none. They were like, you really that serious about it? And I'm like, yes, because we're spreading misinformation over and over again. I'm like, and I'm not saying MSNBC is perfect. I'm not saying CNN is perfect. But I know good and well watching Fox over and over again is going to cause a lot of mental damage. Especially like...
Oh, brain damage.
Look, I was watching Fox last night at work. The difference between the coverage of the... I just looked up and they were saying... Protest. Yeah, the protest. I didn't want to say riot. The difference between their coverage of the protest and Fox's coverage of the protest is frightening. I can only take it in 5-minute increments. But it's just like, all the thing you saw was people running and fighting and throwing shit on Fox. Then on CNN, they were showing all the peaceful protests. And it was like, how things are changing, how people are stepping up and trying to stop anybody doing violence and stuff like that. It's like, Fox is like feeding them poison over and over and over again.
Yep. Feeding into their prejudices.
And it's right. and it's just like,
it's not the protesters who are inciting violence.
It's the police.
Thank you. It sure is, Quentin. It sure is.
So two things. So first, I cut off my cable because it was ridiculously priced and I wasn't going to continue to pay into a stupid ass system. But I cut off my cable well over 2-3 years ago. I don't watch the news.
10 years ago.
I do not, well, I miss Lifetime Movie Network, but I'll live. I do not watch the news. Even before I cut off my cable, I don't watch the news. I get easily irritated anytime they start talking about 45, and I just simply feel like the news is very polarizing. I prefer to read. I am a reader at heart, and I will read the transcript of what something says, and I read multiple news outlets to make sure everybody's story is the same. So to your point, Lisa, about the way, basically a censorship is what you're saying was happening at your hospital, is they're choosing to funnel to you what they want you to see because it's on their dime. Remember, this is systemic. This is by design what they want you to see. The second point I wanted to make was about what can we do, or should we be trying to change people's minds who one way or another haven't made a decision about a candidate and whether or not those people want to engage in the actual process of voting. For me, I don't mind having a conversation with someone about voting. I actually have, my degree is in politics and government of all things. I don't mind engaging in open, respectful, and honest communication. If you can articulate to me why you feel the way that you do, I'm happy to have an open conversation about our government, the way that the government structure is set up, and why your vote matters. You can choose not to vote, which was discussed a little bit earlier today. People have reasons why they don't. They're beat down. They simply said, I've given up on the system. But we all know, if we're talking about a battle, and that's what this is. This is a battle. For how we are going to live going forward, and the laws that are going to govern us in order to allow us to live this American dream that some people will never see in their lifetime. In order to do that, you have to make a decision, because when we're talking about being at war, you can't stand in the middle and say, I simply chose neither side. The bullets are flying back and forth no matter what. So you're already dead. So you have to pick a side, whether you like it or not, whether it's the lesser of two evils, it is one versus the other. And so I'm happy to have those conversations with people to discuss what their backgrounds are. The people that I care to leave behind are the racists, the blatant racists, these people that are out here who don't want to acknowledge the fact that they have the prejudices and these racist type of ways going on. Those are the people, honestly, I'm not wasting my time in trying to convince you of basic human decency and what's right and what is right and what is wrong. Now, if we're just talking about your political affiliations, I can talk all day, every day, but when it comes down to you siding with, you know, these alt-right people, these extremists, you're mad over some fucking tacos because the workers protested here at Condado and didn't want to fill an order for the highway patrol, and that's what you choose to be upset about, but you're not upset about the fact that a man clearly lost his life on camera. We all see this happening. Those are the people that I'm not interested in having conversations with, because for me, on the battlefield, I'm more concerned with the people who are willing to march with me in battle than those that I have to constantly worry about, am I going to turn around and you suddenly change your mind again on what side you're on? I don't have time for those people.
Are you a racist?
You're looking for allies.
Are you a racist or are you not a racist? That's the question.
And I hate that it's been turned into, are you pro-police and are you not pro-police? Because that's what they try to make the narrative to be about Black Lives Matters. And yes, it's just not the truth.
Right.
And I've seen so many times where, you know, I would try to educate somebody or just notice someone is just ignorant of what Black Lives Matters is about. And the first thing they say is Blue Lives Matters, All Lives Matters. You're not even paying attention to what the issue is. We're not against police. We believe police are necessary. We need the police, because if somebody break in my house, who I'm supposed to call? If a crime is committed and I don't have my legal weapon to defend myself, who am I gonna call? So no one's against the police. We're against crime. We're against hate. We're against police brutality. And we are for holding the police accountable when those supposed bad cops do something, and it's only bad cops and not all cops are bad, right? If you feel that way, then you should be able to call out the bad cops with us, stand with us, because if you're a good person, if you have good intentions, if the system is set up for the people like it's supposed to be, then there's no need to combat Black Lives Matter. But too many people don't want to be educated. They would rather just fight you. They want to make what you're talking about irrelevant. They want to take you away from the focus of what you're trying to get accomplished. And so they bring up things like the flag. They bring up the things like the military. They talk about nationalism and patriotism and blue lives and all lives matters. And it's really ridiculous. I don't know how we're going to get those people to start listening, but I really think that's one of the largest problems we have is people just refuse to understand exactly what the movement is about. Right. They want to combat instead of listen.
Yep, I agree. I definitely agree 100%. And I'll be the first to say, like, what one, I want to say one comparison that I've seen that I haven't heard it really on the forefront is, so when you look at in urban neighborhoods, the police say, you know, there's crimes that have been committed, and the citizens are afraid to speak up when they witness something. That whole "we don't snitch" thing that's going on. You know who did it. You know who was responsible, but you don't want to speak up. The same way that the police say we need the citizens to do their part to allow us to do our jobs. It's the same conversation on both sides. The same way if your fellow police officer did something wrong and you innately know as a human being that this is wrong and this is something I should speak out against, it works both ways. We need you guys to do the same thing. You can't right. put the same responsibility on us that you don't also want to help. You don't want to hold yourself to the same standard. And I'll be the first to say, I have had probably one negative interaction, and I'm about to be, I'll be 40 soon. I've had one negative interaction in my entire life with police. Anytime I have had to call the police for assistance, I have had nothing but positive experiences, 100% up and down the board. And the one negative experience that I had was in college. It could have went a completely different way, but it didn't, you know, no guns were drawn or anything like that. It was just like, you know, me and my friend, my roommate were protesting and they were just like, we need you to stop. But overall, my experience as a Black woman has been mostly positive. So I think a lot of people seem to think that if you're saying, look, the police system needs to be revamped, the way that they conduct business and the way that they are policing our citizens needs to change. People sometimes assume that you've had all of these negative experiences. We've all had negative experiences, but like I said, I'll be the first to say mine have been positive, you know, believe it. I mean, it's just the truth. I can't say that there's a specific time when an officer was disrespectful to me. I've even been driving up Lockbourne Road in the middle of the hood and saw someone I knew literally being pulled out of a car, being handcuffed. And so I was like, oh shit, let me see what's going on. So I swerved back around and I was like, I'm not trying to, you know, cause any problems here, but what is this person being arrested for? And the cop was like, I'm not taking this person to jail. Their plates are expired and they don't have a valid license. Let me just run a 50 on them and see if they have any warrants. If they don't have any warrants, I'm happy to let you drive their vehicle home and all will be well. The cop was very nice. He said, I'm not trying to take this person to jail. And like, those are some of the stories that I have. That's not a story for everybody and everybody doesn't have that same experience. But I say all this to say the point, like, we all understand that the entire police force across the nation is not bad, but the same standards that you hold us to as citizens, where you want us to uphold the law and turn in people that are committing crimes, we want the same standard to be held for you, period.
True. Amen.
Well, I can say that my experience as a white gay man is not the same.
I've had both. I've had bad I've ones.
Both as well.
And I've even dated police officers, you know, so we've got, I've known, I think we've got some police officers in the family. Shoot, I can't remember his name. But it's just like, we all know that they're not all bad.
No, they aren't.
And it's just like, but the few that are doing this is just like, as she said, we need them to start policing themselves. Right. To start reporting.
Well, that's the problem. They do police themselves. We need an independent.
They cover it up.
I take that one back.
You've got the police policing themselves. We need an independent agency who polices the police. Period.
Thank you. I take that one back. I meant they need to inform on each other's turn each other in. Yeah, they don't need to police themselves.
They do not. the internal agency on police, the IGA or whatever it's called, that's bullshit. We need an independent agency to police these people. To police the police.
You're right, but I'm going to throw out an enemy of the state reference from Regina King way back in like 2000 and whatever. Who's going to monitor the monitors of the monitors of the monitor?
You're right. You're right.
Well, apparently nobody's straight. The FBI is crooked. The intelligence people are crooked. The CIA is crooked. You can't trust anybody. So how does it work? Starts up top, starts with leadership in the White House, and it has to be a trickle down.
Well, when you're talking about governors, states,
go ahead.
The entity that was created to patrol slaves by poor white people.
I was getting there.
How are we going in 2020 figure out how to make that good? Like, it literally was created in bad, in toxicity. The police department can probably never be a good system. Not as it stands. Like, it is like if you bake a cake and it get spoiled and then you keep using that same batter to bake all the cakes, you're gonna keep having bubble guts. Like, it's impossible to use current policing and it becomes good. Like, they literally got, we just talked about all of the processes and laws that they have to protect themselves.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I tell people all the time, Dr. King would be the age of my auntie. Like, my aunt is grandparent age, right? So that means the people that were alive then are alive today.
My mama's 73. She was 5 when Brown versus Boyd happened.
Their children are alive. So correct. Those people have taught their children. And they and it's ingrained down to their grandchildren. And they're all alive today. So today. This isn't a slavery problem. This is not a 400-year-old problem. This is a problem that's alive and well. Donald Trump is in his 70s, and he's an example of those same people who was happy when Dr. King got killed. He's an example of those same people who was happy when Emmett Till got hung. Those people still live. Excuse me, Emmett Till was beaten. Those people are still around. So when people act like, oh, that was old, it's a new day. No, it's not a new day.
It's not a new day.
If the police chief is in his 60s and 70s years old, guess what? It's very likely that he was taught the same hate that those people were taught.
Thank so God for the young really, people.
Yeah.
Thank God it has for to the be young youth people.
And also,
actually been proud watching the protest.
Yes.
You see everything. And it's like, I have seen more 8-year-olds, 7-year-olds, 6-year-olds stepping up to the mic. They know more right from wrong than these 45-year-olds, 35-year-olds.
Lisa, did you watch the memorial for the gentleman today? Al Sharpton said, some little white girl tugged on his coat and he spinned around waiting for her to say something negative. Mm-hmm. And what she said was, no power, no difference.
No justice.
Thank you. Correct. Mm-hmm. I said the wrong words. Mm-hmm. I got chills all over my body. It's these babies that are going to make the difference.
Yeah.
That's beautiful. It's just like kids know right from wrong. And it's now, and I think one thing we actually can have hope in that. Even these children coming from racist homes who are surrounded by people telling them negative stuff. But they are able to get access to other people, to other information, and to question what they're being taught. Now, they're still going to be the ones who are going to completely embrace it, but there will be some that will be able to flip the script and to move on and make a change. I think the younger ones, if we live that long, yes, I'm not even Catholic and I'm crossing myself. If we make it through this year.
Jesus is watching.
But if we make it through this, they are our only hope. And it's like at work, they kept saying, they was like, oh, blah, blah. And they know I like to watch political stuff and listen to stuff.
And they're always like, well, what do you think about this? What do you think about that? I said, I've got my exit strategy. They said, what do you mean your exit strategy? I said, look, we're close enough to Canada.
Okay.
I said, just like y'all talking about illegal fucking people in Texas. Coming across from Mexico, my ass is running the Canadian border. I figured that a Canadian internment camp would be better than prison here. Shit.
I was like,
can we still claim asylum?
That's what he talked about on the last podcast.
Look, when Trump was elected, I started a GoFundMe. It was called Send a Sister to Canada.
God, please send me.
And everybody said, oh, you're so funny. I said, bitch, I ain't playing. Mm-hmm. Yo, do y'all think I'm kidding? I was just like, I've mapped out how long does it take to get to Canada? I was like, looking for a dag on open borders. I even went on a Canadian dating site. I'm like, shit, I'm gonna get look.
Canadian green card.
I need a green card. Look, I will
listen,
be a
man. Y'all saw the last mass, the one mass shooting they had. Justin Trudeau shut that shit down. He said, no more mass weapons of destruction in this country. I said, my God, why is he not president of the United States? Mm-hmm. One shooting.
Yep.
I don't know how far I get. But I will fuck them. They were like, what about, you wouldn't really do that. Hell yeah, I would do it. You know, I ain't got
And our luck, I'd be right in line behind you. And they'd be like, oh, we didn't cut it off.
You know, it takes you about 7 to 8 hours to drive here. You get a text from me. If you ain't here within 8 hours, bitch, I'm gone. I've been looking for... Oh, Quentin, thank you.
Bye.
Bye, Quentin.
Bye, Quentin.
Quentin, go bye-bye?
Mm-hmm. I think so.
Bye.
It's just like, I honestly, it's like,
What? What
I was like, hey.
Rick is a whole ass, honey.
Look, I think he's a little too young for you.
Well, honey, I can pay somebody rent.
Rick say he works on his flexibility.
No. But it's just like I've never thought I'd actually be thinking, I'm getting the fuck out of here.
I mean, no, but you should. Like, and I look back like right now at a passport everybody should have a passport. And I don't understand why.
Thanks for reminding me to get one.
Yeah.
I let mine expire. Passport.
Like, I mean, that is your ticket. That is your ticket to move around and learn other cultures and basically get outside of your own American bubble and see how the rest of the world is living. And not only just that, but it's your ticket. Like, in the event that some shit pops off here, I stay passport ready, global traveler ready, TSA pre-check ready. I am the fuck out, okay? If shit gets really, really, really bad. Now, while I would hate to leave my family behind, you're more than welcome to join me if you wish
to come. Bye. Passport, baby. Bye.
I actually researched gaps in the Canadian border. Walk across.
You know that's what drug runners do, right? Okay. Watch Locked Up Abroad.
Look,
okay?
I work in a pharmacy.
Next week, y'all gonna see me with the margarita sitting in my hands in Puerto Vallarta, bitch.
All right.
Okay.
I'm a Mexican citizen now.
But that's another. Hey,
I want to be like Winter when I grow up. I want to travel.
Don't we all?
We never do that for another podcast, but that's a whole different conversation about our relationship with our Southern borders, our Mexican counterparts. There is going to come a point in time to where we are going to need their assistance, and I wouldn't blame them for being like Forrest Gump. You can't sit here.
Exactly. That Jake Gyllenhaal movie where Mexico wouldn't let us come across
the day after tomorrow.
Yes.
That's going to happen already.
Honey, those bitches are building a wall now. They're like, nope.
Exactly. I saw that meme. Right.
They were like, remember when you wanted to build a wall?
Exactly. Get your asses over there. Y'all electing Trump. You. The whole world is not going to forgive us for electing Trump.
Nor should they.
Which I know, right? And they're not going to forget it either. How can you trust that we... this has been responsible for just this is the top office in the world.
We look like a bunch of motherfucking idiots.
Mm-hmm. He's not, and what did I say? I said for a small investment, Putin has got
child. The
most bang for his motherfucking buck.
Oh boy, has he.
It's just I don't think he even thought that this could happen. He thought we can do a little bit of chaos or whatever. He didn't think that this was going to work that damn way.
But it did.
Stupider than he thought.
I said, it's the dumbing down of America.
Oh, yeah.
It's just like some of the things I hear people who are college graduates say. And like, oh, well. I don't, you know, I just go with what my parents told me, and I just watch Fox News, and I was like, you didn't look the shit up? Mm-hmm. I was just like, even though, it's like, I watch CNN, I watch MSNBC, and I take a few drinks, that's what I said.
I'm gonna have to sign off, though. I have to sign off.
Yeah, we have gone over. I was getting ready to say we need to.
We love you.
But I
nice meeting you.
Nice meeting you.
Talk to you again.
I hope to meet you again.
Yes, invite me next time.
Okay.
Thank you.
Yeah, y'all. I gotta go too. I love you.
All right. Love you too. Bye.
Listen, my heart is aching. You know that, right?
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am, Lord. Yes, sir.
You had it right the first time.
I know.
I love you with my entire heart, and I can't apologize for all white people, but I can apologize for the right white people. I'm sorry.
And you can't, and I was like, it's not, that's what it's like, you, it's not on you to apologize.
But it is on me to try to make a difference. And that is my mission. That is my mission.
Yeah, it is not on you. It's like, you don't have to apologize.
I love y'all.
I love you too.
I love you so much.
Bye.
I'm sorry.
Love you, and I just met you.
you know me and my hormones.
Girl, mine too, honey. I love you. I love y'all so much.
Bye. Tell your mom we said bye.
Love you too.
She said bye, baby.
I gotta hug her soon. But, okay, I'm getting ready to shut us off. If you're still here, Michelle, thank you so much for coming.
Nice meeting you, Michelle.
Nice meeting y'all. Did you see what I wrote in the chat?
No.
It was a something I saw yesterday. It's a play on Biden 2020.
Biden. Biden. That should be a hashtag.
Right?
I appreciate you. If I ever want to do this again, I'll let you know.
All right.
I remember when your baby was born. How old is he now?
14.
Oh, my.
Look, that shows you how long I've been gone from Georgia. Look, Spencer is 28.
Oh, my God.
I'm old. But love you. Thank you.
Thanks for having me.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye-bye, you guys.
Once again, I'd like to thank everyone for coming out. Those who could, those who had tried but couldn't make it. I just think it's important that we take the time and talk. Not just talk to the same people that you talk to over and over again, but talk to others that may not have the same experiences that you do. Because if we don't speak to each other, speak up and speak out, things are never going to change. So, once again, thank you for coming. This has been I'm Too Old for This Shit, and we'll be back.